Hot Mess on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Mason Hayes and Curran, experts in renewable energy. Find out more on mhc.ie/energy law.
Good morning. Well, the weather will be generally unsettled for the rest of this week. Rain will gradually...
Some of the showers will be heavy, with hail and a slight chance of thunder. Later in the day, showers may turn wintry on.
That will be followed by further spells of rain in the west and north that will eventually become more widespread during the late morning.
And some of those will turn heavy with the chance of an isolated thunderstorm. And then more persistent rain...
July 2023 saw rainfall 225% above the long-term average for rain in the 80s, 90s and noughties. In August, it was 117%, 155% in September and 135% in October. Throughout this time, land temperatures had passed through the 1.5 degrees of additional warming we used to hope that we could hold climate change to. Sea temperatures weren't far behind. And so the rain continued.
At the moment, it's wet across much of the east and southeast, but that rain will clear away
later. December, January, February, March. In March, Dublin Airport saw 219% of its long-term average. Valencia, 194% of its. And all that time, the temperatures continued to break records too. I'm Philip Boucher Hayes, and this is Hot Mess. Have we just seen a glimpse of Ireland's future? In a world warmed past 1.5 degrees, will it rain pretty much non-stop for 10 months of the year?
Well, going back to March last year, the mean sea surface temperatures across the whole North Atlantic reached record high levels.
Paul Moore is a Met Aran climatologist.
Way above what previous records were for the whole of the year since March last year and into this year as well. And now they're higher than they were last year, this year as well. So they're continuing at record high levels across the mean temperatures across the whole North Atlantic.
How much hotter are they?
They're about 1 degree above the mean 1991 to 2020 temperatures. You know, that's over the whole North Atlantic. That's, you know, quite substantial.
1 degree above the mean across an entire ocean. That sounds like it's a pretty enormous amount of energy.
Yes, it definitely adds more warmth and energy into the atmosphere. So if we get a regime where we have low pressures coming towards us, they're likely to have more energy, likely to drop more rainfall because there's more moisture in the atmosphere because the warmer temperatures.
Have you any way of knowing how much more rain is there up there waiting to fall on us?
We know that, through basic physics, that 1 degree of warming will add 7% more moisture in the atmosphere. So that will add extra moisture to all the low pressure systems. The fronts that come towards me will have the potential to have more moisture in them. And it's been shown from studies that if we take a storm system, say 100 years ago, that comes over us, and the exact same storm system today will drop more rainfall than it would have then.
Paul, is it as simple as blaming all of that rain that we had since the end of last July on all of that extra heat in the oceans, or are there other things at play?
No, it's not as simple as that, because a lot of the global drivers kind of influence each other. And we may have in the past, say, had a run of like we've now had 8 months or 9 months or more of low, you know, generally low pressure over us with a lot of rainfall. It's just now that there's more moisture in the atmosphere, that these low pressures are dropping more rain.
So yes, the sceptic who says, come off it, we've had really wet winters and springs in the past, they're right. But the point is that each thunderstorm, each squall, each shower will now potentially contain significantly more water than when it rained in your youth. How much more water? How much wetter is it going to be? In March, I started asking around amongst climate scientists, was anyone doing any research on how much more likely all this rain had been made by climate change? And how likely was it that this was now our future?
So today, you'll be hearing from four authors of the study.
In May, a group of scientists at World Weather Attribution, WWA, answered exactly that question.
The main goal of WWA is to answer the question of the role of climate change in an extreme weather event immediately following the event.
One of the starting findings is that we found that for the present climate, a season as stormy as 23-24 is estimated to have a return period of about 1 in 4 years. And for rainfall on stormy days, 1 in 5 years.
A 1 in 4 chance that there will be as many storms next year. A 1 in 5 chance that those storms will carry as much water as last year. Natural-born optimists will be saying, only 1 in 5, that's an 80% chance that it won't be that bad. Unfortunately not. It's a 1 in 5 chance that it will be as wet or wetter. It's even more likely that it will be just slightly less wet.
The only times, I suppose, we've had a wetter October to March period was in 2013-2014 season and the 2015-2016 seasons, both of which were particularly busy in terms of the number of storms that impacted Ireland.
The scientists working on this study came from the Met Services in Britain, the Netherlands, France, Norway, and climatologist Dr. Ciara Ryan from Met Éireann.
So when we looked at rainfall associated with storms during the 2023-24 storm season, we found that in a 1.2 degree cooler world, so pre-industrial climate, we'd expect that type of an event to occur about once every 50 years. And now in our current climate, with the human-induced warming, we expect it to occur about once every 5 years. So that's an increase, making it 10 times more likely, like an increase by a factor of 10 in today's current climate.
Okay, let me see if I understand you then. This year just gone, one of the wettest and stormiest ever, has, you are saying, a 20% chance of happening every year from now on.
That's correct. There are other factors with storms, of course, that you need to consider, you know, position of the jet stream, the amount of rainfall that a storm will carry with it depends on, the track, but also how long it hangs around, how long it takes to arrive on land, things like that. So it's probably not as straightforward as looking at the October to March period, but certainly there's a large increase in the likelihood of how often we would expect to get a similar season.
That's all pretty sobering, but you're saying that these odds are correct at this temperature that we're at now. Presumably then, as it gets warmer, the odds of repeat performances of the winter-spring that we have just seen will increase.
Yes, that's right. So we did look at that as well. If we were to reach 2 degrees of warming, so a further 0.8 degrees, what would we expect then? And with the rainfall associated with storms, we found that would increase further. The intensity would have a further 4% increase, and we would also expect the likelihood to change, so to change to about a 1 in 3 year event.
1 in 3, a 33% chance, you're saying, that by 2045, 2050, when we reach 2 degrees, that those would be the odds on having a winter as wet as the one we've just had.
Yes, and that's what the models project. The probability of it happening in any given year in our current climate. And of course, these aren't fixed values either. We do need to consider that as the climate change, these values change with them, likely increasing further. Extreme rainfall events are becoming more common. They are shocking, but not, I suppose, unexpected. What we're seeing is concrete evidence showing us that climate change is influencing the likelihood and intensity of these rainfall events.
Is the bottom line here, Ciara, that it is just going to get an awful lot wetter, and that in 10 years' time, the winter that we have just had might not seem that unusual or out of place?
Yeah, I suppose the projections, they're showing us that annual rainfall is expected to increase, and as warming increases, we see bigger changes in winter rainfall as well, with winters getting wetter. Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17?
Why does it always rain on me? Why, though? Why did the Atlantic get so much warmer? There's a number of possible explanations. Last year was an El Niño year, and as we shift back to La Niña, things are beginning to cool.
But then there's the natural variability of, for example, a La Niña, El Niño situation, which mostly affects the South Pacific.
Paul Moore from Met Erin again. Then there was the unintended consequence of making international shipping less polluting.
Sulfur from the shipping lanes has been reduced since 2020. Sulfur reflects the solar radiation. So with less of that in the North Atlantic shipping lanes, more radiation would have hit the sea and warmed the sea. It's just a small amount, but even a small amount adds to the extra warming that climate change is giving.
There was also some additional warming done globally by a volcanic eruption in the Pacific.
The Hunga Tonga eruption in the South Pacific that added a lot of water vapor into the stratosphere. Water vapor is a greenhouse gas as well.
The disappearance for a while of trade winds in the Atlantic also contributed to the heat.
So for a period like over months, there was very low trade winds, which helped the sea surface temperatures in the tropical Atlantic increase. And then we had the marine heat wave off the west coast of Ireland here and around our coast June last year. Stable high pressure that was over to the north of us for maybe the second half of May and first half of June, which led to very light easterly winds, didn't stir up the ocean like it normally would. So there was very, very little waves off the west coast of Ireland for about a month. And there was a lot of sunshine as well, heating top layer of the ocean up. So we got a lot of warm. So we got that severe marine heat wave off our coast last year.
A mix of climate change and some one-off events unrelated to climate change, raising the temperature and packing more moisture into those rain clouds. Globally, the heat added to the world's oceans in the last year has been calculated to be the equivalent amount of energy to dropping 10 Hiroshima bombs into the sea every second of every day for a year. All these combinations of heat sources mean that we are now, if only for a while, at around 1.5 degrees of additional warming. That is a threshold that we will pass through more permanently at some point in the mid-2030s, but we are, for a while, there now. So could this be what it will be like in 10 years' time? Was 8 months of really heavy rain a sneak preview of life in Ireland by the mid-2030s.
Because we've had such a warm last year where it's at nearly like around 1.5, it does kind of give you a glimpse into what a world would be like at 1.5 when we reach that as the mean. But at the moment we're just in an upper kind of trend through El Nino, and we'll probably level off or go down a bit over the next few years when we hit another La Nina. But yeah, it definitely gives you a glimpse of what the world would look like at 1.5.
2023-24, the year that we got to look into our weather future. Are we wise to what is going on here and where we could end up being in 5 or 10 years' time?
I'll just say one thing to you. The Emperor has no clothes. And that sums it up, because they're in denial of what's going on around them. I mean, as we get wetter, it's getting drier and hotter in Spain.
Back in March, when there seemed no end to the rain, I talked to the largest broccoli producer in the country, Paul Brophy, in County Kildare. As bad as the rain is, I asked him, what if we have a weather whiplash? What happens to you now if you have another 2018 and we go from deluge and downpour to drought and all of that soil hardens?
Please don't mention that to me, because I'm in bad enough humour as it is. But that's a reality, and we've had to...
A sudden shunt from one kind of weather extreme to another can cause havoc for food producers.
So it's just the water table is so high.
This is a place that so many of the conversations on Countrywide on Radio 1 with all manner of farmers eventually end up. For people like tillage farmer Mervyn Heatley, it's this jackknifing between extremes that is as big a problem as the relentless rain.
All of a sudden the ground can dry out very quickly, and then you have a crop that you've sown, you've got it into the ground, but now it hasn't got water.
That was one of the goals of our work, was to come up with something that makes more sense relative to the large-scale weather regime.
Dr. Jennifer Francis is a senior atmospheric scientist at the Woods Hole Climate Centre in Massachusetts. She's been studying weather whiplashes in the North Atlantic and Europe. You know what a weather whiplash is. They happen all the time. They're caused by shifts in the jet stream.
The jet stream really determines all of our weather, especially in the middle latitudes, of which Ireland is in that zone. And these big north-south swings in the jet stream are what create the high pressure and the low pressure areas that you would see on a TV weather map. But sometimes they can get kind of stuck in place for a while, and so you end up with the same weather conditions for what feels like weeks on end. And it could be hot, it could be dreary, it could be cold, it could be bright sunny conditions or drought even. And then it shifts to something completely different. So all of a sudden that wave pattern in the jet stream just all of a sudden breaks free, and it completely shifts to something different from that.
Would it look something like extended periods of unrelenting rain, which then suddenly turns on a dime and becomes a period of extended drought?
That is a very possible scenario for a whiplash. It can go either way, though. You know, you could have a very warm, say, summer heat wave that lasts for a while, which, of course, you have seen recently, that lasts for days, even weeks. And then all of a sudden it shifts to a very damp, chilly, windy, nasty situation. So, yeah, it can change in either direction.
Now, as you say, we have always had weather whiplashes, but your projections, your modelling suggests that we're going to have more in the future. Is that, or is it not, caused by climate change?
It appears to be related to climate change. You know, as we push the system beyond where it's been in the human experience, there are certainly surprises in our future, and the ocean is going to be a source of a lot of them, I think.
So here's what we can say about the future. The weather will whiplash more. When it is wet, it will be wetter than we have known. When it is dry, it will be drier than we have known. This much seems certain. But as is always the case with climate science, there is a wild card. The temperatures that we saw in the Atlantic Ocean, all the world's oceans, in the last year were dramatically higher than anything ever measured before. Scientists are now debating whether the world's climate system has shifted into a new unknown. The evidence for this shift was that El Niño would not normally warm Atlantic waters, but it just has.
Yeah, when you get an El Niño year, it normally doesn't affect the North Atlantic, and the North Atlantic would normally have cooled down.
Paul Moore at Met Aaron was one of the scientists left scratching their heads at this weird weather pattern change.
But it didn't. It continued at record high levels since March last year, and it's continuing through the early part of this year as well. So that is definitely a head scratcher, as you say, and a lot of research is currently going on to why that is the case, quantifying the different reasons.
There are two schools of thought on this. The first, it got hot for reasons we don't fully understand, but as we change back to a La Niña cycle, it will cool down again, just as it has in the past. And then there are other scientists who say that this acceleration in warming is evidence that there has been a shift in the Earth's climate system.
There's a doubling in the rate on our planet, and it doubled in the past 20 years. What was really weird, and we still don't have a great explanation for, is why we were setting margins by half a degree C last summer. That was gobsmackingly bananas.
It's kind of a wait and see if we've reached a new state, or are we just kind of having one of those peaks that's going to come down again?
That's quite an intense debate amongst climate scientists, isn't it, as to whether we have passed through a threshold and entered a new state, or should we wait, watch, observe, and not draw any conclusions yet?
It's definitely something that we should wait and see over the next year to see whether it comes down again. And yes, there is a lot of debate in the climate science world at the moment, whether we've hit a new trend, or is it basically we're still on the same projections that we have seen.
I get the impression that the scientist in you is saying, let's just let the hair sit before we go drawing any dramatic conclusions here.
Exactly, because it just adds fuel to climate deniers' fire. If, you know, as it did in 2016, people were saying, oh, we've hit new trend, and then it came down again because we had 3 years of La Niña, so it came down again, and then it stabilized for a few years. But the overall backward underneath trend is still upward.
So watch this space as the next 2 years confirms whether global warming will continue as projected or if it has suddenly lurched forward. Not every year will be as wet as 2023-24. They could be wetter as well as drier. There is a line that comes up repeatedly in conversation with climate scientists. There is no new normal. When we say the words climate change, we should really be putting more emphasis on change. There is a lot coming, especially rain, that we have to adapt to. How we keep our feet dry will be what we look at in the next programme in this series. If you found this programme interesting, there are many more available for download in previous series of Hot Mess. Why are we still flying? Should Ireland lift its ban on nuclear power? The emerging threat of wildfires. Please rate and review the programme where you can. It helps Hot Mess to reach a wider audience. Thank you for listening.
Hot Mess, sponsored by Mason Hayes and Curran, a powerhouse of legal advice in Ireland. Find out more on mhc.ie/energy law.